Hello, I'm Steve Davis. Welcome to this podcast for Australia's National Centre for Vocational Education Research. In the interview you're about to hear, I speak with Yvonne Hillier, Professor of Education from the University of Brighton in the United Kingdom, about the research paper Innovation in Teaching and Learning in Vocational Education and Training, International Perspectives. This report attempts to capture innovative ways that vet practitioners practice their profession overseas amid a rapidly changing global environment. Much of the focus is on European Union initiatives with specific reference to the UK. In her research, Yvonne identified four main categories of innovative practice, namely closer employer engagement in work-based learning, new technology facilitating learning, networks, centres of excellence and resource banks, and networks in professional practice. I began by asking Yvonne to share the working definition of innovation used in the research.
Well, what's quite interesting, actually, is that there aren't that many definitions about innovation that were helpful to me. And I think particularly because innovation to one person is old hat to somebody else. And I think it's quite important that my take, therefore, on it was not, is there such a thing as innovative, but actually, is there something that somebody would like to try out that is new and different? But that said, there were some reports that talked about what is innovative, and it picked out key themes, such as encouraging people to be learner-centred in their approaches, understanding that people need to be motivated and ways to do that, understanding that there are new people to teaching that are in the workplace who don't consider themselves to be teachers but are mentors and coaching supervisors and so on and so forth. So those are the sorts of things that count as innovative.
Well, let's turn to the first of your four categories now, which was closer employer engagement in work-based learning. I was actually intrigued by your notion of brokerage in the UK. This is where government uses brokers to help employers find appropriate training for employees. Why is there a need for this, what might be considered an extra level of consultancy in the vet sector?
There has been, particularly in the United Kingdom and England, a reluctance by many employers to invest in their employees. It might be because they are small and medium enterprises and they frankly do not have much funding available to them. But there's also been a history of concern that having trained people, they will go somewhere else. And so all they're doing is investing in staff who then walk. Although, of course, they can benefit by recruiting staff who've been trained elsewhere. But anyway, so because of that sort of history, really, or legacy of not investing, the government was concerned that maybe one way to encourage them to do something about it is to provide this brokerage system so that employers would be contacted by brokers, encouraged to think about their training needs. And then the brokers would say, well, here are some providers who can actually help with whatever that particular, you know, issue was. And that's how the brokerage system has come into place. And in England, it's called Train to Gain.
Another intriguing thing from this first category that I liked reading about was this notion or concept of foundation degrees. What sort of outcomes are they achieving?
Yeah, foundation degrees is a bit of a misnomer because they're not foundation and they're not a degree. but they are the equivalent of 2 years of a full-time 3 years on a degree in the UK. And they were developed to qualify and accredit people with their work-based learning at that higher level technical and professional sort of level of employment. And they've actually been very successful as a model, partly because, or primarily because, there has been government funding to support them, and because people are beginning to see that they are a qualification that they can gain. And then in many cases, in 50% of the cases, they then go on to gain a full degree, and people who never thought that they would engage in this way.
Looking at those foundation degrees and the brokers we talked about from this first category, are either of those, or one of those, more likely to be seamlessly integrated into the Australian environment than the other?
I would imagine, I've been asked a lot, whilst I've been here about foundation degrees, and I suspect that this will be one that will be seen as an opportunity, particularly I'm aware of the Bradley Review and an interest in bringing together the vet sector and the higher education sector, and foundation degrees have done precisely that in England.
Now, on the second category, which revolves around new technology, I notice you're cautious in your praise of some of the virtual learning environments. Why are you treading carefully in this area?
Well, to be fair, I've been cautious about most of the innovation that I've been reading about. When one reads about innovation, it's usually because we're reading about the success stories or the spin on the story without actually hearing about all the false starts and the hiccups along the way, and not to mention the ones that didn't work and didn't make it. But they, I think, are also valuable nonetheless to learn from. But in terms of virtual learning environments, I think there's a tendency for people to assume that if you've just uploaded the last presentation or some resources and then somebody else can download them, then that's great. And that isn't really making the best use of those environments. So as ever, all of these tools are only as good as the use to which they're put.
Does a poster child spring to mind for a virtual learning environment?
Yes, one that I am aware of simply because I've experienced it as an evaluator is a program in Scotland, which is the Teaching Qualification for Adult Literacies. And because there was a need to develop practitioners across Scotland who couldn't always be together face to face, they developed a VLE, which is hugely engaging, very stimulating. Practitioners themselves have really sort of jumped on board and made best use of it, and it continues to thrive. So I think that's an example of where it can be put to good use.
Now, to the third category now, you mentioned centres of excellence in the UK vet sector. There are some 4,000, which is a lot of centres of excellence. What is a centre of excellence?
Okay. A centre of excellence is a centre that perhaps is well known for, say, the construction industry or the retail industry. So any particular college, we call our colleges further education colleges, the equivalent of TAFE here. So a college might have a centre of excellence in its construction and another one in its leisure and tourism, for example. So the reason why there were up to 4,000 of them is that there could be many in any one institution. So it's not the institution itself that's the centre, it's the activity within it.
And are they contributing to innovation in their fields of expertise?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, part of the reason for them winning the award of being a centre was their remit to foster innovation and also to create resources that could be used by others in that sector. So again, to take the construction industry, which is quite an interesting industry anyway, those centres then work with other people who are construction specialists up and down the country. And so they would either organise face-to-face opportunities to come and see what they're doing and so on, but also develop a resource bank that other people could then draw down and use. So there's an interesting approach there to fostering an interest in developing teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm. Turning to the final category now, you suggest networks of professional practice might soon actually be vital for vet practitioners because they're going to become subject to even more stringent testing of the quality of their training. How would these work?
Well, in fact, they do work already, and they work here in Australia as well as in various countries across the world. They don't need to be formal networks. They can be informal networks too, and I think that's quite important. But the formal networks work because they are set up by agencies or practitioners that have a specific desire to foster professional practice.
Even if we cast our eye into the European Union when we're thinking about these networks of professional practice, have you come across examples or is there anything to share with us from that environment?
Well, the European Union has got a number of funding streams that have been hugely important to practitioners across the post-compulsory field. So we have three main funding sources that I think are interesting and worth looking at. One is Grundtvig, which is set up for people who are in adult community practice and have done a number of interesting projects where people come together from nation states across Europe who have a particular interest, for example, in how to engage adults in a variety of contexts and so on. So those how-to questions tend to be asked by those individual groups of practitioners who come together. And then because of the individual nation state context in which those questions are being asked, the answers are worth sort of listening to and also trying out back in one's own country. So that's Grundtvig. Leonardo is the funding stream for people in VET. And again, there have been a variety of really interesting projects around VET and its practice that have been developed because of the funding that comes from there. And European funding doesn't just fund European nation states. Those sometimes can involve other countries from overseas. And it is, for example, possible sometimes for Australia to be a partner to those projects. That's one to watch. Mm. And then finally, there's a funding stream called Socrates, which mainly is available for people in higher education. But again, with that blurring of the boundary, that's quite important and interesting. But of those European networks that exist, one that is particularly important for VET practitioners here is CEDEFOP. And I won't be able to tell you what it stands for, but it's got one part of it has got the training village. And the training village, again, is an example of activities and ideas and resources that anybody can go into the website and look at and find out ways to do things or hear about ways to do things that, again, might affirm what's happening here in Australia and also encourage people to think about adopting some of those practices. So it's a very useful website.
Yvonne, reflecting back over the body of work in this research you've done so far, are there any fundamental things that you think might need to be in place in the Australian environment to foster these innovative practices you've been talking about and highlighting?
I do, and I think obviously not just in Australia, but in any VET system, it's quite clear that practitioners need an infrastructure of support because most people who are, you know, not, I wouldn't want to call it the daily grind, but most people who are very much at the chalk face or the coal face do not have much time to devote to trying out new things. And sometimes the imperatives of the organisation, be it private or public, you know, organisation, mean that they are not encouraged either to test out new ideas and try out new ideas. It's much safer to carry on doing what we know works well enough. So an infrastructure that will support people to try this out is hugely important. But the second thing, which is a deeper thing really, is the culture of being able to try things out and actually make mistakes. And we normally learn more when we make mistakes than when things go well. So it's quite important to be able to test those out and to see, you know, what we can learn from that and what we can decide to put our effort into pursuing in those ideas, which maybe aren't quite right now.
Thanks for listening to this podcast produced by the National Centre for Vocational Education Research. To download your copy of Innovation in Teaching and Learning in Vocational Education and Training, International Perspectives, go to www.ncver.edu.au.